when you start thinking about selling with love, is creating these moments that people go, wow, that sales process was so amazing. And I give it a simple definition in the book, which is, you know, when you know what you offer is so much more than what you ask in return, that's what selling with love is all about.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Jason Mark Campbell. Jason, what's good, man? I'm excited to speak with you. It's going to be fun.
Well, good morning, good afternoon. We're in different time zones, right, Ben? So really fun to connect with you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to share.
Yeah, Jason, tell the listener, where are you calling out of? Because you are in a very different time zone than I am. It's night here.
Yeah, so I'm fresh in the morning. It's Bali, Indonesia. So there's a whole lot of people that are coming in, coming out, staying around. But it's a really great place to be when you want to connect with a lot of people that are both business-minded as well as personal growth-minded, which is a bit of my own background. And so, yeah, we call you from the other side of the world, coming from the future.
Coming from the future. Dude, I'm going to give you my birthday so you can wish me a happy birthday from the future. That's always my favorite. Jason, I'm going to introduce you the boring old bio, but we'll dive deep. But a lot of people might not know you yet, believe it or not. Jason Mark Campbell, he's the author of Selling with Love, Earn with Integrity, and Expand Your Impact. He's also the host of the Selling with Love podcast, over 300 fantastic guests, inspiring millions of people, public speaker himself, and ultimately works for Mind Valley Personal Growth Ed Tech Company for over 7 years. I'm reading Selling with Love right now. I wasn't able to speed read and finish it for the podcast, but I'm freaking pumped. I'm on like page 120 something. And I love how you dive into, you know, sales isn't a dirty word, and diving into really what it means to sell and what it means to influence and persuade. I'm excited to have you, man. Anything that I missed in that short little intro there?
I think that's a pretty good start, at least for people to, you know, get the gist of what they're about to listen to here. Is just, I'm a guy that found themselves, you know, loving to sell and finding it weird that everyone else, you know, really looked at it strangely. And I was heartbroken because I noticed that so many ethical businesses resist sales, looks at it as a dirty word. So then it creates a marketplace where not so ethical businesses take advantage of people. And that was kind of the catalyst for the journey that I'm on now, which is really advocating for these ethical businesses to embrace the beauty, the power of sales, so they can go out there, reach the people that have problems, solve them, and really create a marketplace where there's no space for, I'll use the proper technical term, no space for douchebag marketers and salespeople. Like, that's my fight. Is how do we bring a lot more ethics and a lot more integrity in the world of sales and marketing so we can actually focus on solving problems?
Love it. And I love the technical terminology, no douchebags, hashtag no douchebags. It's funny, I'm not going to give you the whole story, but Renee Rodriguez, who is on this podcast, talks about how the long story short, because it's his story, is his father immigrated here and needed a car, and the car allowed him to get a job that allowed him to feed his family, which allowed him to expand. And now Renee is one of the most successful people out there. And guess who he bought the car from? A used car dealer. But when people hear used car dealer without the context, they think slimy things. And that's not necessarily the case in all cases. It is in some, in the douchebag scenarios. Let's not talk about the douchebags today. Let's talk about what does it actually mean to sell with love?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. And, you know, I love that you shared that story, because that's a story that happens all the time. But we don't necessarily focus on it. You know, we've been kind of programmed and designed to focus on the things that might be fearful, that might be scary, the dangers ahead. So as soon as you hear a friend or yourself experience a negative sales experience, you get to anchor that this was a sales experience and it was terrible. And so all sales must be this way. But what we fail to realize is everything that is around us, that is created, that is part of our human experience, is the result of a sale. I mean, if you're listening to this episode, I don't know if you have AirPods on or just some headphones on, those needed to be purchased. They're in your hands. They were the result of a sale. If you are living in your home, you're renting your home, you have a car, as you've mentioned already, Ben, all of that is the product of a sale. But we don't pay attention to these sales that seem so uneventful when they happen so beautifully. And when you start thinking about selling with love, is creating these moments that people go, wow, that sales process was so amazing. And I give it a simple definition in the book, which is, you know, when you know what you offer is so much more than what you ask in return, that's what selling with love is all about. So in the case of, Rene Rodriguez and the family buying the car, perhaps they had to pay $500 for that car. But look what it created in their life. You know, that was an amazing tool that allowed them to travel. And they've gotten thousands and thousands of dollars of value from that one car that might have been $500. So as the salesperson for that car, I haven't experienced, or I don't know the details of what that was.
Right.
But they've unlocked possibility. And I think that's a beautiful thing when you start understanding who you sell to and you start realizing that you can put them on a different path when they're on the other side of the transaction. You start caring, you start leading, and sales becomes a beautiful thing.
Mm. So you're unlocking possibility. You buy in more, you care more, you lead more. Assuming you have a good product, you want to sell that product with love. You want to create an incredible process. Most of my listeners, some are business owners, entrepreneurs. A lot of people are in sales and business development. I know every single one of them is a go-getter. That's why they're listening to this podcast. They want to create that experience where, of course, the product already makes people go, wow. But you need to get the product in their hand. You need to get the service. You need to create a sale to get to that level. Let's talk about that process. Like, in a perfect world, how does that sales process look like? You can get as microscopic or as high level as you want. Anything from the sales pitch itself to the whole process. Like, what should we be going for there?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll zoom in on immediately, because you've kind of highlighted something that's a nuance that we need to talk about, is the quality of the actual product or the service. And what I've noticed, as much as, you know, when I throw my hands up and I get attention in the marketplace, right? And I tell people I can solve a problem. The biggest thing that people know me for is you can have me come into your organization. I can help you with your sales issues. And what I've noticed, particularly for those who are at the beginning stages of business, is it's very easy to point at sales and being like, yep, I would be successful, but I'm not good at sales. Sales is kind of my black swan, or I don't know what the expression is, or my Achilles heels.
Yeah.
And so if only the sales parts was fixed, then everything would be okay, because I obviously have an amazing product and you know, I'm a great person and I care about the people, et cetera, et cetera. But I've often seen that there's a deeper issue, and the reason you're not aggressively, passionately, leadingly, caringly, wholeheartedly selling what your product is not because it's a sales issue. It actually is a product issue. Mm. And this happens even more when you happen to be in a service where you are the product, because you have all sorts of insecurities that can come up. So then you start thinking like, oh yeah, it's just sales. But then imagine someone comes in and doesn't give you just what you're currently charging, but is giving you three times more than what you're currently charging. And they're expecting for you to deliver an amazing product. There's a sense of anxiety that gets built. Will they be happy? Am I really worth that? And if that mental chatter is highly present, even before you pick up the phone, while you're on the phone, after you've collected the money, the whole process of selling is filled with that anxiety. And the buyer is very in tune, right? Like we're very intuitive creatures naturally. And a buyer, when you see someone's like kind of coming off with weird emotional vibes, we sometimes start wondering like, oh my God, is there something wrong with the product? Is there something like, is this person trying to screw me over? But there's a bit of a translation issue that's happening here, because this might be your anxieties around sales. This might be your own insecurities about the product. And you're wondering, why is it that people aren't excited about buying from me? Well, you're not in a state of excitement about selling it if the product, and you haven't done the work to feel very confident about putting it in their hands and taking that risk. And so even as I unpack what the sales process is, one of the key things I want to keep front of mind is through every single transaction you make, there will be an inherent risk. There is a possibility that whoever you sell to will have a horrible experience with your product. It'll be a completely mismatch to their needs. That possibility does exist. Is it large or small of a possibility? And this is where I'd say the quality of the questions, the quality of the listening that you do in a sales conversation. Your entire sales process, if you ask me, is a process of understanding the client and minimizing the risk that they will be dissatisfied with the transaction. And that's why we ask probing questions. So if you are having this kind of conversation, it's about, okay, if I'm talking to Ben and I'm wondering, okay, if this person needs my product and service, I need to ask questions to understand better. Is Ben who I think he is? Does he have the problems that I assume? Are these problems worth solving? If they do solve it, what will it create for him? And whatever is being created from the solving of that problem, is it worth the price to pay to actually get started and actually fix it? And so all you're doing in a sales process is risk reduction of any dissatisfaction through the transaction. And when it comes to closing the sale is when you decide, you know what? I've gathered enough data that I'm willing to lead this person across this bridge. You know, I've thrown some rocks on the bridge. I took an elephant to make cross the bridge. And I use that example as I know you're American, Ben, and I love this story. And I believe this is from Andrew Carnegie. Okay. And Andrew Carnegie, you know, built a bridge over the Mississippi River. And it was such a large bridge at the time. And people were like, we can't walk this bridge. It's going to break. And he started thinking, okay, well, I'm going to create a parade with elephants that will cross this bridge. And this was the forefront of industrialization. This is when he started using steel as a material and U.S. Steel was born. He had an elephant actually physically cross that bridge so he could take the risk for others and make them realize, hey, you can cross this bridge too. Look, we just had an elephant cross through. When you get to a point in your sale that you've added enough question and you listen enough that you're like, you know what? I'm willing to take this person by the hand and cross the bridge with them, and I'm going to ask for the sale. I'm going to collect the money because on the other side, I know their problems are going to be so much less and they don't need to pay more. They need to pay less.
Need to pay less? I intentionally did that as a probing question. So this is fantastic. So this is key, and I want to put an exclamation point on it real quick. The product needs to be good. I'm trying to remember who I was speaking with, but it doesn't matter. I was talking to someone the other day, Carla Fowler. She was on the show, and she was talking about the how. And everyone says, I love Simon Sinek, but start with why. Why is great for motivation, but what is the product? The product needs to be fantastic. Now, we have an incredible product. We focused on our why. Talk a little bit about that, probing questions and listening and asking questions and being a consultant possibly, because, I mean, and you talk about this a little bit in the book, it's so easy to be like, oh my God, this brisk is the best brisk on earth. Never tasted anything like this before. If you taste this brisk, you're going to be on the moon, flying, so excited. I love it, and you're going to love it too. And it's almost like it's passion and it's conviction, but to me, it feels pushy, and the product might not be a good fit. Maybe they have diabetes and they can't have the sugar content. I don't know. Yeah. So talk a little bit more about that question asking approach and how you ensure that you're not, it's not selling with love if you're selling them something they don't want or need, right?
Yeah. So in the book itself, you know, the way I break it down into, let's say, like a how process is I identify that there are five loves in selling you need to have. Mm. And the first love that I speak about is where you start from, which is the Simon Sinek, the why. I call it loving the impact. Mm. It's just understanding the difference you want to make. Like, why are you even selling this? What difference are you going to make in somebody's life when they have this product in their hands, right? It's good to at least have that as a North Star. And I do that first for the client. So if let's say I'm selling these brisk, like, why do I want this brisk? Well, the moment someone has this in their mouth and they taste it, they have a sense of euphoria and joy in a world that might be filled with sadness. I want to give moments of glory so people can understand the possibilities that exist in their lives. Never sold this stuff before, but nonetheless, maybe that would be my why if I was so passionate about it.
I do have a water bottle of brisk here. That's where that all
You know
came
what's funny?
From.
I don't even know what brisk was. It was like, is this a cookie? Is this a, I thought it was like a piece of meat. So then I was going to say, well, vegans are probably not going to brisk it.
So brisk is generally an iced tea brand. This says pink lemonade juice drink from concentrate with other natural flavors. So
we
tremendously
interrupt this podcast.
Tremendously healthy. Brisk. Yo, this always kills me. 4 servings per container. So only 11 grams of sugar, but that's per serving. But I use it as a water bottle.
There you go. So it's so funny. I'm not an advocate for this kind of product, to be quite frank. But if I had to be, you know, yes. This could be one of the reasons why I'm excited about it. But I would even take it a step further. And you want to kind of have like that type marketing around your greater purpose, which I look into the impact for the world. And I start thinking, okay, if I sell thousands of my thing or brisk in this example, again, not my favorite of examples because it kind of is something I don't think.
Let's scratch it and fill in the blank with a better example so we can get a little.
No, I want to keep going on it, and I'll tell you why, Ben, because
please.
We all have different values. You know, in my book, I speak about vaporizers and how if you're somebody who quit smoking, moved to vaporizer, and it's been a huge health benefit for you, you might be excited about selling vapes. But if you're a non-smoker and you started smoking and you're trying to get a bunch of people to start smoking and you're completely against smoking, maybe you shouldn't be in this industry, right? So in the case of brisk, more than likely, perhaps, they're like, you know what? When we bring these bottles, we're able to get people with a tasty drink that are used to drinking sugar, but there's less than any other option out there. We're trying to get people on a stepping stone before they get to actually completely cut sugars in their lives, but we understand it's hard. And we're trying to give an option that has a massively reduced sugar content, and we get to have people take steps towards avoiding diabetes one step at a time. Yeah, of course, we should go to just natural water, but then with the companies out there maybe putting so much sugar in their drinks that's got us completely hooked, we need to create that one company that's the stepping stone to better lives, better health. That's an example of like, if your values align to that, you might be saying, you know what, I'm someone who struggled getting off Pepsi or Coke, and when I went to brisk, it was one powerful step that was way better than and now finally I've been able. You might be someone that's aligned with this company and this value, and you might want to go sell it. So I speak about the impact for the individual client, the impact for the world, and the impact for yourself. Like, what's the monetary compensation you want to have? What's the values that you have in living in criteria? What's the world you personally want to bring into life? And be clear on all three so you can make money, your client can have a difference, and you selling with this company makes the world better, right? And when you have that as a kind of tight stack, at least you have those reasons why you sell. Because as you're walking through the when you're walking through the process, mm-hmm. of selling, just like you said, Ben, someone coming to you being like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing, it'll explode, and they're trying to sell you. We're all asking that question back in the head. It's like, why is this person so excited about selling me brisk? And if you can at least have the understanding of where they're coming from, like to me, someone would be like, Jason, why are you trying to sell other people on the concept of selling with love? Like, you're screaming it from the top of your lungs. You're going on podcasts. You're doing social media. Why is it important? And to me, it's like, I've seen what it's like to be on the receiving end of a douchebag transaction where I bought a program where they just took, you know, thousands of dollars from me, took me through an education that was completely messed up, and they put me on a studio, recorded testimonials of my face, put it across Canada to get more people to buy this product. That was an entire scam. And I'm like, wow. This felt horrible. I hated it. Did I have a lot of growth through it? Yes. But in it, I got fueled with the fact that if I can see a world with less douchebag marketers and salespeople, ethical businesses will start to thrive, will have better efficiency in solving problems and not needing to mess with effery. And I'm changing that word to keep it a little gentle here. But this is why I do it. Like, I need the good guys to learn how to sell. And if I can do that, I know I can shift the world to being a little better. And so when I do that, then people are like, oh, I understand why Jason's pushy. All right. So there's a big emphasis I do put on that in the book. And then from there, once you have that, that's when I get more into the how, which is like, okay, who are you selling to? How much do you know them? Do you understand them? What's your product? How does it actually solve the real problems of the person you're selling to? And that's when I start thinking, okay, the process, which is the fourth love of selling here, is all based on the knowledge of the difference you want to make, the people you want to serve, and the product you're going to give them. Then you start thinking, well, what's the best way to reach them? Am I running ads? Am I having one-on-one conversations, and am I taking through them through a live event or a webinar? And on these one-on-one conversations, there's so many models you can use. And that's why in my book, what I'm focused on is just getting people to be curious and excited about sales. Because once you start diving into sales, oh my God, you just open Pandora's box. And it's a beautiful world. You start reading books, and it's not about manipulation. It's about empathy. You start learning the language that's necessary for people to understand that you're here to provide value and you're here to serve. And so, yeah, questions can be probing questions like, what challenges are you facing in your life right now? All right, is this something that you've been dealing with for a long time? Have you made any efforts to try to change it before? Were they successful or not? All right, are you familiar with the work that we're doing here at our company? Great. Tell me what it would look like if we'd actually solve this problem and we actually would make this difference in your product, in your personal life, or in your company in 6 months from now. What would change? Is it worth solving? Can we solve it today? Like, now this starts being so focused on them. And that's why questions allows you to have better understanding. And every question I ask is to gain better understanding of that particular individual. Do they match who I'm trying to reach? Are they the match for the product I'm trying to put in their hands? Mm. By serving them, will the impact be fulfilled? And if so, do I know that when they make that transaction and they have that money come to me, the amount that they pay is so much less than the pain that they face with not solving that problem? That's the kind of sales process that I'm encouraging people to use. And it becomes such a beautiful thing. It doesn't need to have anxiety. It doesn't need to be pushy. It's just glorious.
It's glorious. You're the matchmaker in a sense. I'm wondering, and this could take us on a tangent, but I think it'll be fun. I've been trying to rewire my brain. When I was a kid, I was taught the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's fantastic. No issue with it. But I've learned the platinum rule is treat others the way they want to be treated. So when you go into this product's going to fit this person, this is my customer avatar, this is who I serve, this is who I want to work with. In a way, as a business owner, as a marketer, as a salesperson, it could still feel all about you. Like, I want to work with this person in this position with this income to help them in this, because it can create this impact and I have these testimonials. In a weird way, it can still kind of be about you and not be about them. How do we figure out, like, that we're actually talking to the right avatar, that we're not trying to push the way we want to be treated onto them and actually treat them the way they want to be treated and talk to them and provide services that they want, not that we think they should want? What's your opinion on this? And I know I've had a million mishaps. I'm wondering if you've had any mishaps, opinions, just kind of shoot the breeze with me, man. Any thoughts?
Yeah. I'll share a very simple story about this concept that I think will put it very concrete on where this starts to create problems. Is, imagine you're a entry-level car salesperson. Since we brought that up earlier, we'll stick to the cars here.
Cool.
And you get an amazing job, and this job is at a Lamborghini dealership. And then you're so happy, you're making about $50,000 a year, and you're selling Lamborghinis. This is great. And you know, somebody walks in, has got the Rolex watch, you know, tailored suit, looking fantastic. This man, dripping, got money for sure.
Mm.
And then they walk in and they see this like purple Lamborghini, and then it's on the floor and it's $500,000, right? And the person comes in and he's like, what do you think? Should I buy that Lamborghini? And you start thinking from your perspective, and you look at it and you look at him and you say, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I find the Lamborghinis are a little overpriced. If you look at Mercedes cars, you get so much more bang for the buck. You know, you could be under 100,000, but you can get a similar engine. And, you know, it's actually even, you're going to see that what you're actually paying for is just the brand for Lamborghini. And it's super overvalued, overpriced. Personally, I don't think I'd go and buy that. I think it's a little overcharged. And the guy just looks at you and he's like, I'm not walking to the dealership to be walking around with a Mercedes like everybody else when I want to be that guy with a purple Lamborghini driving down the streets and being unique, being noticed, because I've been working so hard to make this money. And this is when I was a child, I always had this purple little Lamborghini toy and I had this on my desk for the last 20 years and we just closed the biggest deal for our company. And I walk here and you're trying to take away the buzz. You're trying to take away the hype of my excitement that I was going to come here to buy cash a purple Lamborghini. And now you can see it's a bit of a ridiculous example.
That it sounds like true. I love it.
But it's like you're putting yourself in your shoes and you have no idea what's going on in their head. You completely miss the platinum rule in this case. And, you know, the solution to that is you have to do a gut check. And if you're in a sales process and you have more thoughts concerned within your head as opposed to asking questions to try to get into their heads, already that's a great litmus test, you know? If you're feeling yourself being needy or desperate, you're probably not going to have the capacity or empathy to be able to get into their mindset and their understanding. The best exercise I've always done, Ben, especially when I used to work at Mindvalley, we would sell these personal growth products. And
clarification, are you no longer with Mindvalley?
Oh, I've left Mindvalley a few years ago. We've spent 7 years together. We're still very close, but I've been on my own. I've been promoting my own book. I have my own programs around sales, and Mindvalley's always been an ally. I'm simply an author on their platform now.
Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. Yeah. I remember in the intro I said 7+ years with Mindvalley. So you are on your own. Let's just plug it right now because we're talking about it. How do people figure out what you're up to? I'm going to add Mindvalley to the show notes as well. Talk about an incredible company. But where do we find specifically your stuff?
Yeah, for me, you know, jasonmarkcampbell.com, you can find everything around my personal business. Sellingwithlove.com, you can find my podcast, learn more about the book and all that stuff. So those are the places you can find me. I personally love coming on podcasts. And, you know, as much as I love podcasts because I get to have conversations, connections with, you know, with you right here, there's so many people that get to listen in and we can't have a two-way conversation. So I always tell people, you know, if you're listening to me on this podcast, definitely come to LinkedIn, come connect with me, add a note, mention that you've heard of me on this show. I only accept the requests that come with a note. So make sure you do say that you've heard of me on Ben's show. And that way I can unlock a bunch of freebies and make sure you are well taken care of if you're aligning with the message that I'm sharing today.
We'll do just that.
Yeah.
Dude, and I know people will. They might even take a screenshot and add it to their stories. I love when people do that as well. So I derailed.
On the video.
I derailed your flow because of the Mindvalley clarity point. Do you recall where you left off?
Of course. So in essence, I was selling an energy product and it was very interesting because I was at a space where I wasn't really considering energy products in my suite of consumable products, okay? But here I was, I needed to sell a product which was all about healing, all about working with a psychic to help you with energy clearings. And I did the golden rule, Ben. I was like, I'm going to go sell this. So what I did is I went to experience the product and I went on it and I'm like, I had no change. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be selling something that doesn't change me. But then I had to do that litmus test. I'm like, no, it's not about me. It's about the client that it serves. So for anybody who's wondering, how do I make sure that what I'm selling is great? Go and find past customers, start having conversations. To me, this is what I did is I looked at everyone who bought in the last year. I emailed them and I sent them a booking link to get on a one-on-one with me. I started having conversations, 20, 40, 50 conversations. And part of our process back then was, hey, send a survey to past customers so we can get some data. But I was like, survey's great, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that heart-to-heart connection with somebody that can really make me realize what's the story here. And my God, there was so many amazing stories that came from that exercise. And there's one of them that I never forget. Is even part of the book, which is Chuck. Chuck was a gentleman. He's like, listen, from Chicago, I've been struggling keeping a stable job forever. I've been seeing a psychologist and, you know, I had some issues that were happening and I ended up joining these calls and I don't know what happened, but from that moment on, I was so inspired. I started really implementing a lot of the tools that they were suggesting. I kept regularly joining every month. My psychologist was like, "What is going on? You have completely shifted your baseline." And from then they've been able to keep a stable job. And they're like, "I'm so grateful that I made the decision to buy this product, because these energy clearing sessions, they're kind of like a happiness booster pill for me." Mm. And I'm like, wow, Ben, just having that conversation, you want to speak to tying in back to the process. I was writing the copy for a campaign and one of the emails was called "The Story of Chuck and the Happiness Booster Pill." Oh. And it was one of the best emails that I wrote because I wrote his story and then people were like, "Oh my God, I can relate." So not only did I end up, you know, having great copy for an email, like open rates and click rates were great, but it was the right people that were clicking and opening it that related to Chuck's story. And I knew that the people that needed to buy this product were other Chucks. So what better than the story of Chuck to make sure that they are attracted to the right product and it's the right fit? It wasn't about me. It was about all these people I spoke to that I saw the transformation they got from buying. I was like, how selfish am I? Like, how selfish was I that I would have considered not putting my full effort into launching this because I thought it wasn't the right program for me, when there were thousands of people like Chuck out there that were looking for something different that could actually work for their situation. And this thing seems to be the right thing. So let me make sure it goes into their hands.
Makes sense. I don't drink coffee. You give me an espresso, I'm a jittery mess. That doesn't mean people don't like espresso. Like, it's really that simple, isn't it?
100%.
So let's get into, a lot of times I lead with pain. We led with love. And the reason I lead with pain is because people see you as a published author, as someone who moved up and was very successful with Mindvalley. As an entrepreneur, you're crushing it. You're speaking with people at the very highest level in their craft on your podcast. Wasn't always easy, right? Was there any point that you felt misaligned or that it wasn't going to work and possibly you wanted to drop the mic, throw in the towel? Or you tell me, maybe it was all sunshine and rainbows, but have you had any points where you're like, "I don't know what I'm doing," or "I'm misaligned in my life right now"?
Yeah. It's interesting. I would feel like answering this question quite honestly. And I feel like I'm always exploring what is the next adjustment in my alignment. And so you say all these nice things. And of course, I'm very grateful for the journey I've been on so far. And if I think it's the perfect journey that I have to be on. But at every point in that journey, there's always a moment I'm like, am I really fully aligned? Do I need to shift a little bit? What have I learned that makes it so that I need to adjust my path? And I think one of the things that have been pretty good that I recognize in my own personality, and I think has been a key to get me on this path, is even when I'm not 100% aligned, I love the action. I love movement. And so I remember one of the first times when I was considered, I was still at Mindvalley, but I was setting some powerful goals and I was so wishy-washy with my goals. I just said, like, you know what? This year I'm going to focus on just maybe working towards building a better personal brand. And that was it. What did that look like? Is this YouTube? Is this Instagram? Am I just going to do interviews? Is this, you know, being a figure on Mindvalley? Am I going to continue on that path? I didn't know. I just said, let me set an intention towards that. And it's just with that kind of vague direction, then I start taking steps towards it. And then I was like, okay, well, this selling with love is something I've been speaking about. People really love. So let me take some steps towards, you know, maybe speaking more about that. And then I did, and I see people are resonating. And then other things start coming my way. I'm walking this path, but it's almost like a wobbly drunk path. And it's okay. I'm like, hey, I'm figuring things out. I am seeing some, I'm getting insights. I'm getting clarity. And when the people came into my life at the right time with that intention in mind, I could recognize it as an opportunity. So then somebody starts mentioning, you should maybe write a book if this important message is the thing you want to speak about. I'm like, that seems like a big, scary goal. but we could set that as the goal for next year as the one thing to do to get the personal brand even closer. So then I get on a journey of, you know, writing a book. It's about an 18-month journey. And then the book, then the podcast starts happening. I keep doing it. I was like, is the podcast? It used to be a Mindvalley published podcast. Now it's my own podcast. And again, that journey was like, I'll start the podcast with Mindvalley. Does it make sense? It's definitely a step. It's action. It's movement. And things get figured out the more you do them. I think the thing that would hold me back the most, and I don't know if this is the same for a lot of your listeners, but if you're just thinking about all the different things you could do, but you're just sitting there thinking about it, there's no friction against your ideas to test if they're something you love or not. Hmm. And so all that to say that at the moment right now, you know, you say all these nice things. I'm currently, you know, trying to figure things out still. I'm still wondering, like, am I serving the right people? Am I serving them the right way? Should I be serving someone else? And how do they want to be served? I'm always asking this question so that I can maximize the difference I make in my business. Because if you're trying to make, you know, have yourself financial success, I always think of it as a, you know, a result of the value you provide to the world. And so I'm always trying to think, what's the maximum amount of value that I can provide, the maximum amount of impact that I can provide? And that's either by providing so much value to a certain group with a certain product at scale, or you could be providing value to a different group of people with a different group, maybe more concentrate. And this is where you get to be in conversations with yourself, like, what's the values I hold dear? Do I want to be able to work with the masses? Do I want to work with the few? Am I more introverted, extroverted? All those things come into play. But to me, the biggest thing that I've been having these kinds of internal debates with is there's so many people that I'm really able to help that are struggling with sales. But as I mentioned earlier in the beginning, I realize that it's not a sales problem as much as it's a product problem, that they don't have a product yet. And so it becomes very hard and insecure to be able to sell when you're not so sure about what your product is. You haven't put in the reps, you haven't presented your product, you haven't delivered results. And that's kind of that's the dark abyss, the walk you need to do at the beginning of your journey to see what works before you even start thinking about scaling sales. And so I'm currently in this moment right now where I'm like, I prefer to work with a client that might be already established, has their funnels in place, you know, especially if it's in the education space. I can make such a bigger difference to someone that's a $1 million business that I can come in and bring sales implementation. I get to deliver on tons of the expertise that I've built, whether it's at Mindvalley or my real estate days before that, into helping them unlock, you know, impact that they can make on people when they make more sales, more transactions, more so than I can help anybody make their first sale. Although making their first sale is a beautiful thing and I love being able to do it, it's just, it takes a lot more energy. I don't have the systems to do it at scale, and the difference I get to make in the world isn't as grand as when I do it at a larger scale. I want to be able to make a big difference. And if I can help these other organizations, particularly in personal growth, they start helping the root cause for a lot of people that struggle at the early stages of business, which is mindset, therapy, coaching. Those are a lot of the foundations that you need to have in place before you even get into business. And I think that's one thing that's missing in the industry that's getting people to go out there and be entrepreneur, is there's a lot of like therapeutic care that we need when we go on that journey. And I want to make sure I work with the organizations in personal growth that bring that to the people.
It's powerful. You know what I'm hearing from you? Hearing evolution, that you're evolving, you're changing, you're realigning when needed, you're discovering. And I'm also hearing clarity, because a lot of people feel, I'll throw a profession in front of us. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but a financial advisor might say, well, I can help anyone. And theoretically, possibly they could. An insurance agent possibly could insure any human, but where is the sweet spot? Who can you help the most? And you're providing this clarity that if we don't have a minimal viable product, we don't have established sales, we're still trying to build, there are people, startup accelerators, that will explode a business like that, explode in a good way, shoot them to the moon. That doesn't have to be your sweet spot. We don't have to be everything for everyone. So it sounds like your sweet spot is taking something that's proven, but possibly changing processes, realigning, teaching strategies to take something proven And I mean, can you have too much of a good thing? I mean, yes, sometimes possibly, but for the most part, you really can't have too much of a good thing, right? Again, I'm kind of talking in circles, but the clarity and the, I mean, tell me if you disagree. I feel like some of the clarity comes from the evolution. It comes from dabbling and trying different things and learning from different people. You tell me, is that why you do the podcast? Is it for the education? Is it for the marketing? Tell me why you love Selling with Love, the podcast. That was a mouthful. Well, why do you love doing the show? I know personally, this is treating other people the way I want to be treated. I freaking do the podcast for the education, man. But you tell me, why do you love the show?
Yeah, for me, it's very interesting because when I do the Selling with Love podcast, I get to connect with incredible guests, right? So I get to connect with people that have important messages and I get to bring that to my audiences. And even in the way that my business is evolving, I think it is a great word to use. And this clarity, although I don't know exactly the fact, I have clarity on the fact that I know I don't have the clarity. So I think that's how I would frame it. But it's, I also have an understanding that this is perfectly normal and this is part of the process. When I look at the podcast and the audience that I serve with my podcast, these are amazing people that I get to help. They are looking to buy the book. They are looking to learn from the experts I bring on the show. They are people that will follow me, engage with me, but I don't know if they're going to be the ones that are going to be driving the majority of the revenue most of the time.
Sure.
The majority of the listeners, I will never be able to have a large transaction monetarily with, but I have earned the right for their attention. I have earned the right of their trust. And they're my champions, they're my fans, and I want to make sure that I get to help them as much as I can, but they're not the people that I'm looking to transact with. Yet when I look at the people that I'm looking to transact with, they look at the podcast and they're like, wow, look, this person's actually helping lots of people, the social media indicators. So it's very interesting, right? Because I realize that my marketing actually is educational and consultative tools about sales for the masses who cannot necessarily afford my premium services.
Right.
And for those who are looking for premium services, look for social cues to decide who they do business with, which comes from all the people you've been serving for free. And so to me, that just becomes an amazing, beautiful investment of my time, my money, my energy. So I actually produce the podcast. I get to test my ideas. I get to bring on some guests. A lot of the guests that I bring on my show can actually become some of my clients as well. And for everybody that gets to listen in, they become the raving fans that might not necessarily do a monetary transaction, but they're going to be part of my journey. And it's amazing to get the feedback and the reviews from the people. And so I'm very blessed that that's been a part of the journey.
Yeah, thanks for putting a stamp on that. Because, you know, I say all the time that one of our biggest expenses is the wrong information, doing the wrong way too many times. And one of our best investments is in ourselves, in our knowledge. But it's often used as a marketing tactic that the best investment you can give is in yourself. Buy this $50,000 a year product, even buy this $5,000 a year product to people that possibly are struggling to afford that. So you get to offer a free tool for the people that can invest in themselves without breaking the bank, and then they can become your top cheerleaders. But more than anything, like, dude, you get to impact by now hundreds of thousands of lives just with the podcast. And I think that's kick ass. So I appreciate you kind of noting that you're kind of putting the chips on the little guy a little bit, whether or not they're going to bring income that you see like right in front of you into your business. They become your cheerleaders, your advocates. Maybe one day they become your employees. I guess we'll see, man. That'd be fun.
That's actually one of the most interesting.
Never thought about that.
And I'm going to do a call out to an incredible individual who is listening to most of this content.
Fantastic.
His name is Carlos or Carlito. And this is exactly the situation. Carlos, and you never know where your people come from, and you never know how long they've been listening to you. That's one of the most fascinating things. You start doing this long enough. I've been hosting the podcast for over 3 years now. So Carlos reaches out to me, and you know, he knew me from the Mind Valley days. He started listening to my podcast, and he was doing it for years, has sent me messages. I think it was on LinkedIn or on Instagram. I didn't immediately reply because I had a flood of messages. I didn't know who he was, but he kept regularly messaging me and then trying to lead with value. And he was implementing the things he was learning on the podcast to reach out to me,
yes,
to deliver value first, to get my attention. And then eventually I get on a call with him and he's like, Jason, I've been listening to your show for years. I really love what you're all about. What I've done in the last 6 episodes that came out is I've created action plans and show notes and a ton of summaries of all the content that's been coming through. And if you're looking for someone to do that for all your shows moving forward, I'd be the perfect guy. I'm like, take my money.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Been working with me since March, and he now leads my community, my product development for all my Selling with Love online courses, and he's been a fantastic individual to have by my side. Matter of fact, he was talking to me, and he's such a good guy. Like, every time he's like, I tell everyone about my experiences working with you, and everyone's like, oh, I wish I had a boss like Jason. And I'm like, I don't deserve this praise. Like, I'm just treating you like a human. And he comes to me and he's like, this year has been the best year ever because he made that reach out. I ended up paying him a steady salary that allowed him to work remotely doing, he basically gets paid to learn, which is, he's been an avid learner. And I just flew him to Bali. So I bought him a surprise ticket to come to Bali and I had a chance to meet in person. And I was telling him, I was like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, if you meet your mentors, they sometimes say you'll be like disappointed. I had him come into Bali and, you know, for me, it's, I just want to live a life of peace. So I don't want to put up a persona online and be different in person. So like he met me, I had him stay as my roommate. I was like, you'll get to know your boss. And cool. And then from that, Ben, that all started from someone who listened to the podcast, you know, and now he's here. We're going to spend New Year's Eve together and we're on a journey to keep developing products.
Fantastic journey. That's a great story. And what did he do? He led with love. I get a couple of these messages. You probably get more than me. We're busy people. It's people are like, how can I help you? And sometimes figuring out a way to get them to help you is just a distraction in itself. You're overwhelmed. He didn't just ask, how can I help you? He just went and did it. He led with value. He led with love. And there's no guarantee that it's going to end in the story that you just told. But talk about a beautiful way to lead with love and then turn into a beautiful story like that. You have something to add. I see that.
Yo, Ben, you speak of such a valid point because there's 3 types of messages, I think, that usually come in for somebody like you who has this podcast. And I know you'll recognize this is people will write to you and say, oh, please, please, can you help me? And it's like, we're so busy and it's really hard. We're going to do our best, point you to the right resources. And, you know, that's actually easier of a question than the second group, which will say, I want to help you. And when people reach out to me and just say, like, I want to help you, I'll do anything, that causes me anxiety because now I have to start thinking, well, what do I need help with? I don't even know what, now I have to go on a process to discover who you are, what you do, what are you good at, what problems are a priority for me. Like, you're putting all that work on me. When so you just reach out to anybody of authority or that has busyness and you want to plug into their stream and you want to provide value, just saying, oh, can I help you? I can do anything, is the most amount of work you can ask the CEO. It's like, they know the problems they have and they've taken the actions they need to be able to solve their problems. What they don't know are the problems that they might not see, that they might not have discovered or may not have thought it's so easy or efficient or worthwhile solving. And that's what being a salesperson is like, okay, you're following this person. I want to go back to that third person, which is a person like Carlito, basically was watching. And then he's like, hey, I could do summaries for these. And I think he's having struggles with that. And so he found my problem and solved it. And then came to me and said, I've solved a real problem for you. And if you go and reach out to anybody and you pay attention long enough to start discovering, talking, and seeing like, oh, they probably have a struggle with this. As a business owner, when someone says, I've noticed you have this problem that's probably costing you this much, and I could probably have it solved like this by costing you this much, and we could start tomorrow, that's selling with love.
Mm. There's been cases where I can't hire the person, but it still puts some fire under my feet, and it's helpful to realize I have blind spots. You did miss one kind of message I get all the time on LinkedIn. It's, I am Apple Podcast Promoter. Would you like to promote podcasts for 30 days, guaranteed 300 ratings, 2,000 subscribers? Have you ever gotten those?
Yeah, that or on Instagram, just being like, get 10,000 followers now. No, those aren't real people.
all my friends keep on setting up, you know, mimic accounts and trying to sell me crypto on Instagram. It's weird.
Nah, that's crazy. Yeah. You do get those kinds of messages, but, you know, I will say the one message, it's not a request, but it's the best message to receive is just people that just message you and say, thank you. And God, that fills the soul real quick.
Mm. Send us some hearts, send us some love, send us a thank you.
Send Ben and me some love. Let's do it.
So we're going to go into the rapid fire round, short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions. I want you to take a little bit of time on this one, though, as we kind of bridge the gap and divert. Because I'm just curious, and this is a random question, because you're in sales. Sales can be high pressure, investor meetings, large clients, revenue attachment, incremental income, all this kind of stuff. Are you always this calm? You're sitting back, you got the red couch. Anyone watching the video, click on the notes if you're not. You got the red couch. You've got the slow, soothing voice. You kind of remind me of the most interesting man in the world. I'm wondering, are you always this calm? Do you get stressed? You seem like a pretty mellow dude.
I am a pretty mellow dude. I do get stressed. It's the chair. I have a couple of chairs.
Tell me about the value of a good chair.
Second spot, ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Super Chairs of Bali.
Ooh, Super Chairs. Do they ship to the United States? Because
I don't know. It's not
this,
a chair.
This chair I'm in is awful. I built, it's the IKEA of effect. I built this going into college and I still sit on it for like 10 some years and I've been uncomfortable for 10 some years. So if you got any chair suggestions between you and I'm in the market for something better.
Let me say this, and this might be a great way for people to picture what does it mean to sell with love? How does it sound to sell with love? And I'll do something like this. Mm. So Ben, based on what you've just told me, you're someone that, you know, you work on a podcast, you're sitting down a lot of times, you often go to a studio to record as well, but you've been on the same chair forever. And I know you're probably still in your 20s, but as we get older, you understand people have back problems, people start having struggles with their health, and you are someone that needs to be high energy, focused, and super excited when you get on these podcasts. And did you know that spending so many hours on a shitty chair is probably going to be the worst thing you can do for your health? And imagine that you're actually sitting on your throne. Now, that's not a chair, that's your throne. So that every time you sit on this beautiful chair, you know you've anchored it with the feelings of peace, presence, and power. And these are the states you want to be in every time you get to work. Imagine how much more you'd get done, how good your health would be, and you don't even need to spend thousands to just get a decent chair. But I would tell you that the best thing you could do for Christmas or for the new year is to get yourself the most wonderful chair so that every time you sit on it, you're so excited about the money you spent and you're reminded that you deserve the best in the world. So does your audience. They deserve the best of you. So you should have the best chair and we should get that purchased right now. So just go on Amazon, set a budget of about a couple hundred dollars, find the best reviewed one and make sure it feels like the throne you deserve and go get that.
I like it. Make me a better host, man.
Yeah, come on. That's valuable.
I've got pain in my leg right now and I am 90. I'm 98% present with you. I'm 1% thinking about what I'm doing this evening, and I'm 1% wondering why I've got pain in my leg. And I think I could alleviate that 2% with a good chair.
Well, you could at least alleviate one, and that's double. That's good. I will tell you this, all seriousness aside, in my 20s, I was a much more agitated person. Like I was much more like filled with enthusiasm, super extroverted. My God, I even had a nickname, which was called the escalator, which was every time we'd go in a social situation, I would escalate things to a more intense level. And yeah, I guess I came to my 30s and I kind of had that, you know, 30-year-old crisis, started evaluating my relationships, my life, not necessarily through the best of lenses. I had some times when I looked in the mirror and I wasn't that proud of the guy that was looking back. And, you know, I I did work for Mindvalley for 7 years, and it sounds like you and your audience might be familiar with that organization, but I started actually diving into personal growth and bringing, you know, doing spiritual or meditative experiences, like going for meditation retreats, and doing coaching for myself, which was quite therapeutic, to be honest. And it's just got me to a place where I found a lot more inner peace, and I've seen that as something that I want to bring more and more into my life. I've slowed down, and in the process, I've been much more intentful with the steps that I take, and it's led me on a beautiful path. So so that's your answer.
I like it. Let's add a little something to that. So you said you've slowed down. You found that's beneficial? There's something in entrepreneurship, especially in sales, that, let's just use always be closing as an example. There's just like this, we always need to be doing something. We always need to be moving the needle. We always need to be accomplishing our daily goals, our weekly goals, our monthly metrics, our quotas. You just said you slowed down. Yeah. That almost is counterintuitive to that traditional hungry approach. Talk a little bit more about that slowing down.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I do have annual goals. I do have quarterly goals for my personal life, for my business. I have monthly goals. I have weekly goals. I have daily habits that I want to keep in place. I hit the gym. I do Spartan races, and I push myself to the limit, but I'm still calm. And when I say slow down, for one, I slow down in the speed that I talk. That's just one element of slowing down that at least lets you breathe and listen and say things better, because I used to be someone that speaks very fast. And if you're finding yourself being like those people that speak very, very fast, take a few more breaths in between every conversation. You'll see that it makes people connect a bit more. And, you know, in moments of excitement, you can pick up the pace if you want to make that, you know, moment happen, but you want to kind of slow down. So I've slowed down in the way that I speak, and just trying to understand that the power that allows you to make a lot of money is actually going to be from the right kind of thinking, not the fast kind of thinking. And from there, I'll have systems in place that allow me to automate a bunch of parts of my business, so I don't need to be, you know, super crazy about it. Please don't equate slowing down with being lazier. Just saying that, you know, the moves that I make are going to be pretty powerful.
I like that. Well, some people like myself are rapidly typing and doing data entry. If we slow down, we realize maybe we can outsource that. But until we take that breath, we might not realize that we're running in the wrong direction. Who knows?
Yeah.
I appreciate you. I know you've got a breakfast date. I've got a dinner date, different sides of the world. This guy's from the future, man. We're going to quickly go through the rapid fire round. This is just meant to have fun, get to know you a little bit better. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, obnoxiously.
Obnoxiously. Well, let's ask then, what's your favorite way to prep your coffee? What's your favorite kind?
Yeah, always black. And so I'll either have a French press, AeroPress, or mocha pot. Unless I go to a restaurant and I want to be a degenerate, then I'll get myself a long black.
Are you a morning person? Thank you for getting up early for this podcast. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm both. I'm just not an afternoon guy. So I get up early. I do a bunch of stuff. I chill in the afternoon, go back to work at night.
Weekends, when you're not, no podcasts, no Spartan races, no reading, what do you do? An interesting hobby or something you love to do that maybe some of the listeners that know you might not know about you yet?
I'm a nerd. I like to play Final Fantasy 14 with my girlfriend, do some dungeons and raids.
Love it. Biggest goal right now, and how can we help you achieve it?
I'll have my goal setting session next week, so we'll have a bit better clarity on that. But the biggest one is unstructuredly, it would be to move away from serving other coaches to serving large personal brands.
I like that. Is there any way we can help you other than, what is it, jasonmarkcampbell.com?
Yeah, I mean, you can connect with me, buy the book. If you can leave reviews, listen to the podcast. Those are big ways that allows me to reach more people. I'm not saying that I don't want to help coaches. What I'm saying is that I don't think I'm the best to help them with all of my attention. All of the resources I provide for free or in the book are immense value for people that are maybe at beginner level coaching. And I've had a lot of attachment because I want to help all of these people. But I realize that in the way that I teach selling with love, just if your target market can't afford your product and services, you have to find the people who can so that your marketing material gets to inspire the thousands of people who can't afford you yet.
Amen to that. Little inside joke. I realized this internally in my head. I don't know if anyone else did. I asked, how can we help you? After we went on a long rant discussion on not asking, how can I help you?
Yeah. So then I'm like, I don't know, man. Let me get to work. Let me come back with a report.
I apologize. Let's do one more fun one. Take your time because this one's important. You are a character, maybe they write an entire movie about your life, but you're at the very least a character in a feature film. Who plays you?
First instinct, I'll say Ryan Reynolds.
I love him.
It's interesting because I also have a picture of him from his X-Men feature when he was the first time Deadpool, and he's like shirtless, ripped as hell, and I have that in my health and fitness vision of the body I want to make sure I maintain at that level. So I'll keep him. Ryan Reynolds.
So we're gonna flip it on its head. I'm gonna advise people best ways to help Jason. I know this as a podcaster. Go subscribe to Selling with Love. Leave him a review if you believe he deserves it. Leave him a review. Listen to his show. If you're listening to this podcast right now, screenshot and share. It's always great. Commenting below wherever you found this is any great. It's a lot of love to me if you go and just, you know, click subscribe to this show. But what's great about Jason's show is anywhere you're consuming this, you can find him as well. It's also in the show notes. Send him a heart, send him a takeaway. Just let us know you're listening because we know you're listening. But sometimes even if just like 3% of our listeners say hello, like that one person, changing one life in a month, in a year is worth all the work. So if you have a takeaway, reach out, let us know. Is there anything else we missed today, man, other than the fact I could talk to you forever?
Well, it's been a real pleasure, Ben. Thank you so much for having me. For everybody else listening, I just want to make sure that you're all empowered and inspired to understand that sales doesn't need to be a dirty word. When you know what you offer is so much more than what you ask in return, that's what Selling with Love is all about. If you lead with care, you're going to be fine in business. Start getting curious about it. Read the books on sales. Don't be afraid of any sales books. They're going to be the single skill that you can develop, especially in the world that's feeling a little scary. Nobody with beautiful skills in sales is worried about the economy because they know at the end of the day, the sale is what's going to need to happen. And if you're good at it, you will have security in your life.
Jason, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.
This is Jason Mark Campbell. I've been a guest on the Real Business Connections Network podcast. Had a great time with Ben Albert. And for any of you who are listening to the show, make sure you pay attention to all the amazing guests that he brings on, the powerful questions that he asks. And as you get to learn, you get to have a lot of fun and dive deeper into knowing who are the people you look up to, you learn from, and you'll have a good time. And I know as a guest myself, I was able to have a good time joining the show. Really good vibes all around. So I'm wishing the best for the show. Go ahead, like, share, subscribe. Do all that magic stuff to support our creators. And Ben, thank you for the opportunity to share my message on your show. It was an absolute pleasure.